From 1995 to 2000, there's been $1.3 billion allocated to the reserve. That is from the result of favorable investment experience, largely. Of that $1.3 billion, $800 million has been spent on fully funded benefit improvements from 1990. This is from 1995 to the current year. This year, the combination of a negative investment experience and a negative liability experience also has resulted in a reduction of the reserve of $182 million. That's a combination of fully offsetting the $464 million of investment shortfall and amortizing the prior year's gains. The current balance of the reserve is $353 million. There's an additional $334 million of deferred gains that will be allocated to the reserve over the next 4 years. So in short, what happened as a result of this last year's performance is that about a third of the money that has been allocated to the reserve and would be allocated in the future has disappeared because of negative investment performance, actually closer to 40%. Because we are deferring those gains and fully offsetting the losses, and because of the long-term favorable experience of SDRS and the careful process that I think everyone has followed to recommend and install benefit improvements, SDRS actuarial measures continue to be very strong. Funding period is 20 years. The goal is 30. Less than that is favorable. The funded ratio is 96.4%, and the goal is 95% or greater. SDRS has been and continues to be one of the best funded retirement plans in the country. Lastly, or in conclusion, SDRS experience was unfavorable. This is one of the few years that we've come and reported unfavorable experience to you. The current year experience, I've been told, is also unfavorable, reflecting the economic conditions. Investment return, I think, is about 1 or 2% negative year to date. So in all likelihood, we'll have a similar year if we extrapolate from now, a second down year in a row. The system does remain sound. It is well funded. And we have had a number of years of past favorable experience that has offset to date the negative experience. SDRS is protected from future unfavorable experience, although we're less protected than we were a year ago because we've used up a significant part of that cushion to date. And the Retirement Board is not recommending any benefit improvements that would be funded from the reserve for the current year.
Before there are any questions, Mr. Schrader, I'm going to hand out on behalf of the Investment Council, Mr. Myers. It's a chart that, or packet that he has handed out recently to other folks, so it obviously it's public, but he wanted me to express in specific not only this, but what you had said, Paul, that from July 1 of 01 through now, the performance of the investments is a negative 1.22%.
Okay.
So we just nailed it right down, and obviously the rest of those, to the extent that there are extras, certainly are available to everybody here in the audience.
I can just add one bit of additional bit of information, if that's appropriate.
Yes, sir.
As of June 30, 2001, there is some concern about the capital markets and whether or not the very favorable investment returns that have been earned long-term, 12% essentially since 1974, compounded rate of return, whether we were in for a period of underperformance that we cannot, not only won't earn those kinds of rates of return, but maybe have trouble earning the 8% long-term on which is the foundation for the funding of the system. Based on the reserve and the amounts to be credited to the reserve that exist on June 30, 2001, which are down 40% from where they were the previous year, the fund could go 10 years and earn slightly over 6% and still meet all the liabilities of the system and still maintain the same funded status that the system has currently because we have that money set aside that is not being used for benefit improvements. If we have another down year this year of 1% or 2%, then obviously that becomes worse, and we have to earn a slightly higher rate of return.
In that interpolation, are you just using the 3.1% going forward for 10 years
for
as the expense?
for the cost of living?
Yes, sir.
Yes. We're assuming that all benefits that have currently been provided or in the statutes would be continued. There'd be no benefit changes.
Okay.
So the system has weathered the storm, can weather more of that storm currently.
Questions? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, Paul. You've been clear as usual, but I do want to ask a question. When you say that we have this money set aside, you know, when my grandmother set aside money, it was in a jar in the freezer. So is this money set aside in treasuries? Is it set aside in a CD? Is it set aside in Enron stock? I mean, where is it set aside?
It was in Enron. No.
The money is a bookkeeping entry, and it is not otherwise segregated from the general investments of SDRS. So it is not set aside. It is part of the general fund.
Other questions of Mr. Schrader as a result of his briefing? Anything else, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that backdrop, then, we will open hearing on House Bill 1032 for proponents. And what we'll do is take proponents and then opponents and then ask questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Hal Asher, Administrator of the South Dakota Retirement System. Since SDRS is a tax-qualified defined benefit retirement plan, it is subject to the Internal Revenue Code provisions that apply to governmental retirement plans. The Economic Growth and Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001, commonly referred to as the 2001 Tax Act, was enacted in 2001 and became effective January 1, 2002. Several provisions of the 2001 Tax Act require or permit a change in the laws governing SDRS. Section 1 of House Bill number 1032 will place SDRS in compliance with the 2001 Tax Act. In effect, the change updates the IRS compensation limit. Members and employers contribute to SDRS on all compensation paid to the members subject to certain limits. For members employed prior to July 1, 1996, there is no limit on the compensation. For new members employed after June 30, 1996, the compensation limit goes from $170,000 to $200,000 in 2002 and is indexed in the future. Section 2 of House Bill number 1032 will also place SDRS in compliance with the 2001 Tax Act. The change expands the definition of eligible retirement plan to include SDRS, supplemental retirement plan, and other 457 plans. Prior to the 2001 Tax Act, a refund of accumulated contributions from SDRS could be rolled over to an IRA or another tax-qualified retirement plan, but could not be rolled over to the supplemental retirement plan or similar or for other 457 plans. Section 2 will permit such rollovers. Section 3 of House Bill 1032 is also necessary to be in compliance with the 2001 Tax Act. The change will update the IRS maximum benefit limitations applicable to SDRS benefits. These limits apply to both private sector qualified retirement plans and governmental retirement plans such as SDRS. From a practical basis, few members of SDRS will ever be affected by the maximum benefit limitations, but SDRS is required to include these limits in order to remain a tax qualified plan. And basically, they've gone from where previously they were limited to $140,000 and benefits at age 65, and the Tax Act allows increases those limitations to $160,000 at age 62, and there aren't many people in SDRS that are going to be affected by it. Section 4 is a new section permitted by the 2001 Tax Act. Section 4 will permit a trustee-to-trustee transfer of funds from the supplemental retirement plan, other 457 plans, or 403B tax sheltered annuity plans to purchase uncredited service in SDRS or redeposit any withdrawn accumulated contributions plus interest during the first 2 years of reemployment. The end result of a purchase or a redeposit is adding additional service which would be credited to the member, which obviously improves their benefit. Section 5 is a new section that implements a confidentiality provision for SDRS member records. SDRS member records include the following information: the member's social security number, date of birth, date of marriage, information on the member's spouse and family, confidential medical information, and bank account numbers. A statutory provision for confidentiality for member information is necessary because of an increased concern over identity theft, as well as the need to comply with other laws mandating confidentiality. The information still may be released under the bill with the member's consent or pursuant to a court order or subpoena. Section 6 provides an emergency clause for the legislation. The 2001 Tax Act is effective January 1, 2002. We've already had and received numerous requests from members who know the Tax Act is effective and want to immediately purchase service or redeposit using amounts in the supplemental retirement plan. And before members can do so, the changes to Chapter 312 must be in effect. And without the emergency clause, these provisions could not be implemented until July 1st, 2002. The Board of Trustees of the South Dakota Retirement System has approved this proposed legislation, and we respectfully urge your favorable consideration, and I'll turn it over to Paul to give you the actuarial impact on the bill.
The bill has no actuarial impact.
For those listening on the internet, there is no actuarial impact to this benefit. I also wanted to do something out of order and indicate that by virtue of the implementation of what is known as EGTRA, which really sounds kind of painful, but the law itself, I think, provides so many benefits for a lot of people, and that we're always talking about things the federal government does that hampers. This is just the reverse. It's amazing, and that's why Al and John and Wade and I worked and wanted that emergency clause on that, and we could certainly have discussion about it, but it's a tremendous benefit. Any other proponents of 1032? Hearing none, are there any opponents? Hearing none, questions of Mr. Asher? Hearing no question, the committee will close from questions and open for deliberation and action. At this point, I'd like to point out, I'm sorry, there is an error that needs to be corrected, an amendment.
I'd move the amendment, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
Thank you. And the amendment is, well, I should have kept one too, Beverly. It's a strange rule. 1032MA, it has been moved by Representative Olson. Is there a second? Comments on that motion? Actually, it's just an errata. It would be on the top of page 2. That should be the law in effect as of 2002 when the law went into effect. So it was just a typo. Any further discussion on the proposed amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of Amendment 1032MA signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We're open for action on 1032 as amended. Representative Koistro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that do pass on House Bill 1032.
Is there a second? Moved by Koistra, seconded by Representative Olson. Do pass. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary of Police call the roll on 1032 as amended. Do pass. As amended, yep.
Aye.
Aye. 1032, having received a majority vote, carries.